It's the Garnet Trust Hour.
Spencer Rattler, Gamecocks quarterback, joining us in studios
on your home of the Gamecocks.
Welcome in, man. I know you said it's been a little while since you've done some live radio, but we're happy to have you. Everything doing well, though?
107.5.
Yeah, everything's been great. You know, off-season's going well with workouts and throwing sessions and stuff like that. So getting into the routine and just going at it every day.
The game.
All right, welcome in. Chris Clark here. GamecockCentral.com. It's the Garnet Trust Hour here on 107.5 The Game. Go till 11 a.m. Special guest today, Kat Berry, Gamecock Women's Soccer. Kat, thanks so much for taking the time to be with us today. How are you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Glad to have you here. Had several athletes on so far from, actually had one of your teammates on, Taylor Jacobson. Did you get to check that out?
Yeah, I heard she did a great job. She told me she had a lot of fun.
Did a phenomenal job. Yeah, we've had a lot of fun with the athletes. Y'all make us feel bad about ourselves because you're like all so much more put together than we are in our middle age life. But Taylor did a great job. She talked about food some. She has the TikTok account and all that good stuff.
Yeah, I did.
You follow that?
I didn't even know about that until she talked about it on here. So
breaking
I follow
news.
Now. Yeah.
We're breaking news on there.
News to me, too.
All right. But you've checked it out now.
Yeah.
I'll get your thoughts on that later. Wes and I always end up talking about food during basically anything we do, written, podcasts, radio, anything like that. So we'll get your food thoughts. We're going to talk about soccer. Talk about what you got going on in school, all sorts of stuff, maybe get in some questions. So all that sounds good. We'll dive in. Looking forward to it. Again, we'll be here until 11, 10 to 11 here on 107.5 The Game. First of all, here's a random question for you. We were just talking before we jumped on air about the pollen.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on this?
I don't think anywhere in the world has pollen quite like Columbia, South Carolina.
Yeah.
And I'll die on that hill. Last spring, I don't think like I could breathe for like 4 months. And then I'm from Boston. So I went home for the summer and our pollen season is like 2 months later. So it was like 6 consecutive months of just like pure allergies. So it's coming in this week and not looking forward to it.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, so being from Boston, I didn't have a good like barometer of how the pollen is up there. So like, mild or
I mean maybe like less than here, but I think it's more so just different timing. We still get similar. I'm not an expert on the subject, but in my in my relative opinion, I think that we get similar, probably just on a different time frame,
different pollen time zones. You're not a pollenologist or whatever you would call.
Maybe I can take that up.
Yeah, some kind of weather person might know a little bit more about that. So Let's go back. So you mentioned you're from Boston, and you end up down here among us Southerners in South Carolina. Let's go back to the recruiting process, if we can start there. So you know, coming up playing soccer, I know you played basketball and lacrosse, right?
Yep.
Okay, first of all, what is it? It's probably easy to say that soccer is your best sport because of what you're doing now, but like, what's your second best?
Probably basketball, although toss up. I have one really good basketball story that's kind of relevant to South Carolina, which I think is kind of interesting. I played in high school. My team, our rival high school, was Worcester Academy, which if you know, that's where Aaliyah Boston went to high school.
Yeah.
And so my team actually played her team like twice a year for my high school career, and so I actually like guarded her. I wish I had the film for it somewhere for all of you guys. So I guarded Aaliyah 1 year in like our New England championship basketball game. She didn't score on me, but we lost the game. So you can decide who won that battle, but I'll take my win there.
You guarded her the whole game.
I don't know if I guarded her the entire game, but she didn't score on any possessions I was guarding her. It's like my claim to fame. You ask my team, they're like, we've heard this story 9,000 times. Every time she does something good, I'm like, guys, fun fact, you know, like I actually guarded her. It could have been like 3 minutes at this point. I don't know, it was like 6 years ago. But I'm like, this is my claim to fame. Like I guarded Aaliyah Boston. She fouled me and she didn't score on me.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. So when you said you guarded her, that's why I said the whole game. So I was trying to get a sense of, was it three minutes?
Like, we didn't shut her out, that's for sure.
Okay, so you only got, I thought you went like 40 minutes solid of like not letting her
Aaliyah
score.
Aaliyah and I were going up and down the court.
How many possessions? You don't know how many. You don't remember how many possessions?
I mean, I can try to find the huddle for you after this.
Do you have a huddle highlight still up from basketball?
If you looked hard enough, I'm sure you could find something.
Maybe Aaliyah's is on.
I'm not gonna challenge you. I don't know if I want to challenge you to that, but
if we find Aaliyah's high school highlight tape, though, but you won't be.
I won't
it.
Be there.
There's
yeah.
no highlights for her.
You can see me like somewhere else on the court. Maybe you can just like get the picture of the two of us playing against each other.
Now here's the key question: have you told her this? Like, have you talked to Aaliyah and been like, "Hey, you remember me? I shut
we, like,
you down."
Definitely know who each other are and have like talked to each other since then. But I don't think we've ever had the conversation like, "Hey, remember when like I guarded you like during that New England playoff game?" Because I don't think she probably cares. And if I had to guess, I wouldn't bring it up because then she'd be like, "Yeah, when we beat you," and I'd be like, "You're right, good point." You know, that is what most people ask in the end. But I do think it'd be funny to, you know, bring up at some point.
I think you should bring it up for sure. I think we could do like a special segment,
maybe like
special show.
We could get like a pickup game. Just kidding, I don't wish that on myself.
That would be good. You know, the scary thing, I gotta say, my guess says, do you still play basketball? You probably don't play a lot.
Not like that type of basketball because the injury risk right now. Right. I don't think
you don't go
Kelly
shoot around
Jamie,
though.
Shoot around some, yeah.
Okay. My guess is that your skills are probably not what they were when you were practicing a lot, and Aaliyah's probably gotten even better.
Like
a lot better.
I mean, there are people who are like first team All Americans that can't guard Aaliyah. So I'm not gonna sit here and sell that story that I'm gonna be able to compete at that level.
Put you in for what, a possession or two,
I'll take my, yeah.
Yeah, you can.
If I can make it like an up and down like running race, maybe like if I can really like
that's true.
Get it going, try to like tire her out. Maybe I'd stand a chance. Probably not though. I think she'd just reject me, and I would have no points. But if I can make it like 0-0 and maybe like get one shot up from like transition or something, we'll see.
A tie is not the worst thing, just like soccer, right? I mean, it's not.
No, but it's not winning, and
that's true. But you know. You get what you can. I mean, facing off against
Aaliyah
Boston.
Overtime in our 1v1 battle.
Yeah, you get what you can take there. All right, so high school recruiting. Tell us, you know, I cover football recruiting mainly. Like, that's my kind of prism that I look through. And I know a little bit about basketball recruiting, know a little bit about baseball. Admittedly, don't know a lot about soccer recruiting. Like, how early does it start?
Yeah, so it's actually kind of crazy. So when I was being recruited, there were little to no rules other than that coaches couldn't directly contact you until your junior year of high school. So okay. I could call, like at the time, I could pick up the phone and call Shelly and Jamie, but they couldn't pick up the phone and call me back if they like missed my call. So it was kind of like a little bit of like phone tag type of thing. But when I was being recruited, it was like eighth grade, ninth grade was when people would commit for like the better players.
Really?
And then it would be like, I think like sophomore, like freshman, sophomore year was kind of like standard. And then if you were like committing as a junior or senior, that was like late. So things have changed. They put in a new recruiting rule. So like the girls who are freshmen now had that where you can't contact coaches at all till junior year. So it's very different now. But I was like an eighth grader taking phone calls from like college coaches, like, what do you want to major in? And I was like, what's a major? Like, I don't even know what that means.
What's college?
Yeah, pretty much. They're like, what are you looking for in a school? I'm like, I'm in eighth grade. I don't even know like where I'm going to high school yet, let alone like,
wow.
Yeah. It's hard to explain when you're like getting dismissed from middle school to like go on a college tour. So I think it's for the best now that they've kind of changed the rules a little bit.
So I've tried to figure that out. So when you look at like baseball recruiting, it seems similar to that. Like football recruiting is pretty early too. I mean, you see every now and then you'll see a kid who is in eighth grade getting offered. You see freshmen getting offered a lot. Sophomores, juniors, certainly. But still, there's kind of a progression to where if you see a kid that's a freshman or a sophomore committing, even in football, you're like, man, that's pretty early. Mm-hmm. But like baseball, and from what you're saying, soccer, super early. So like, is it just because of the development track of soccer and the development track of baseball, like how the youth sports are? Is there like, I don't know, I guess the rules are written differently, but is it like a pressure on these colleges to identify kids super early? Is that what it is?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of that and just like competition that like kind of built between college coaches. Like the idea of that if we don't get this player, someone else is going to. And so it just became like earlier and earlier and was one of those things that like just kept creeping like sooner and sooner because coaches just got like competitive and kind of like anxious about missing out on people. And so I think that kind of became a thing. And I also think with soccer compared to some other sports, like I'll tell anyone, like can't really pick soccer up later in life. It's not like something in high school where you're going to like walk out and like pick up. I don't know. I started playing lacrosse in high school. I played like a tiny bit when I was younger, but like I could pick up a lacrosse stick and like kind of figure it out. And there's stories about like, you know, Northwestern with that whole like national championship run with that. I don't think soccer is a sport where like if you pick it up in high school, you're going to play Division I college. So I think that there's some element of like players are developed enough that you have an idea kind of the trajectory they like are going. Whereas like football, some of those other sports, like the physical development is such a huge thing. And maybe like you can start a little bit later. You can teach like skill sets if that like athleticism is there. So I don't know. I think it's a little bit more of like soccer is so tactical and technical that like those two elements you can kind of see, you can understand how smart a player is, you know, their technical ability and kind of like can predict where they're going. But I think mostly it's just like coaches trying to like outcompete each other.
Yeah. So do you feel like they might miss on more players? When I say miss, like, you know, misevaluate people? Because, I mean, you, look, you're taking a commitment from somebody who's a freshman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is the hit rate still pretty high? I know you probably haven't, like, commissioned a study on it or anything. But
no, like, totally. It's actually kind of funny, and I tell people this all the time. Like, I had probably, like, 8 or 9 of us in my club, like, senior year class, and I think, like, already a bunch of them have transferred, or, like, I go home and they're like, I hate my school, hate everything about it. And so I think there's a combination of things of like people, the level they're at, the way they're committed to soccer, like when they're in 8th or 9th grade changes, like some people just like don't love it as much anymore. And then you get to college and you're like, wow, I committed to this like really big D1 school and I don't want to do that kind of lifestyle. So I think there's some element of that. And there's still that same element of like players 5 years later aren't going to be the exact same player they were. So I think that it is like that totally. Like there's a lot of kind of missing or people falling short or people and coaches get so anxious that they have to like commit someone or guess on someone and then you kind of like make the wrong decision. But it does work out in some cases too. I mean, like I think our program is pretty good evidence of that. We have had like very few players want to leave. So that's a good thing too.
So I don't know how much you want to get into this part of it, but which schools did you like really heavily? First of all, when did you commit?
I committed like the summer right after my freshman year.
Okay, so yeah, pretty. I mean, I still feel like that's so early. I know you're saying it's not.
Yeah, it felt
like,
so early.
Wow.
At the time.
Yeah.
And I think I was like the first athlete in any sport at my high school for like my year to commit by like a good amount of time. If that
months,
gives some reference to.
Wow. So, which schools did you really heavily consider?
Yeah, I looked kind of all over the place. So, school is something that's like always been super important to me. Mm-hmm. So, and being from New England, like I did kind of the Ivy route, like I toured some of those, looked at that. I also looked at a lot of ACC schools. So I looked at Virginia Tech, UVA, Duke. I toured at like Maryland, Northwestern, some of those like good academic Big Ten schools. I looked all over the place, kind of just like a couple. Georgetown was one that I kind of considered similar, like high academic, pretty competitive athletic. So I looked like all over the place. Pretty much my mentality was if someone reached out to me, I would give them the time of day to phone call. If it was like within reason to go on a visit, I would go take a look at it type of thing. And then, that was kind of the way I looked at it. And then South Carolina reached out and I came down to visit and the rest is kind of history.
So what was it about South Carolina?
Yeah, for me, it was that I didn't have to sacrifice anything. Like that's kind of what I tell people. So I actually really knew little to nothing about it. And it was kind of like just good luck. Shelly and Jamie and our old assistant coach at the time, I think like stumbled across one of my games at a showcase Memorial Day weekend of my freshman spring. And so they reached out to my club coach and were like, hey, we'd love to have like talk to her on the phone, have her come down and visit. They watched me again at our like playoff event in June of that year. And then I came down and visited over the summer and kind of like Jamie sent me a bunch of info about like the school here, like all the stuff like the athletes had, like, you know, the videos of like 650 and everything like that. And being from New England, like there just aren't like those types of like SEC schools. Like we just don't have those kinds of like facilities, you know, like at BC, lacrosse and soccer share the same one turf field and it's like not even on the main campus, like stuff like that, where you're just like coming down here and seeing that we had our whole building that was just for soccer. I was like, this is insane, let alone like the stadium and everything like that. So that was just kind of like eye opening for me that that existed. And then I also did, I felt like I could get top 10 soccer, compete for conference titles every year, national titles, NCAA tournament. I didn't have to sacrifice school because I found out about the honors program here. So for me, that kind of put it up on target with like the other academic schools that I was looking at. And it just was like a culture. I loved the way that people like talked about, felt about the university. It's like kind of like I touched on, like nowhere else up by me. Like no one walks around and is like, you know, go Eagles or like go UMass. Like it's just not the same. Like I'll be home in Massachusetts and people walk around and they're like, see my Gamecock stuff and they're like, go Gamecocks. Or I have like a South Carolina thing on my car and I was at a red light and some guy's like waving me down at the window and I'm in Plymouth, Massachusetts. Like this is like nowhere near here. And I like roll my window down. He's like, do you play soccer at South Carolina? And I'm like, yeah, like I do. Like, and he rolls his sleeve up and has a giant Gamecocks tattoo and he's like, go Gamecocks. And I like literally am like, this is not real. Like I'm in Plymouth at one. Two, the guy felt so strongly about it that he had to like get my attention to roll my window down. And then like we drove off and like went on with our days. But that's like my story I always tell for like South Carolina fans or like no other. And so I think to me, like just people that were so passionate about their school, like that was something I wanted to be a part of.
All right, Kat Berry here with us on the Garnet Trust Hour here on 107.5 The Game. Going to take a quick timeout. Back on the other side, going to talk more soccer with Kat. And we're going to put her on the spot on a couple of things here. We'll be right back.
It's the Garnet Trust Hour on your home of the Gamecocks, 107.5 The Game.
All right, back in with the Garnet Trust Hour. Chris Clark here with you here on 107.5 The Game. Got Kat Berry here with me in studio and just kind of breaking down her journey from Massachusetts to come down here to South Carolina and play soccer. Plenty of soccer to dive into because I'm very interested in the team this coming season and kind of how you guys have been preparing, all that good stuff. But right now, we'll put you on the spot if that's okay.
All right.
You don't know that I was going to do this. Got some questions for you, and then we're also going to play a little word association.
Okay.
In a second. We're going to ask you about some people and some things.
All right.
And see what you think about them. All right, but first of all, I told you, I teased that we were going to talk about food. Mm-hmm. I've got to talk about food or we have failed here. So, favorite food. Go.
Just any food.
Yeah, favorite food.
I'm a big like breakfast, like go out to breakfast type of person. So like anything like blueberry pancakes, waffles, that type of stuff.
Okay.
Also love sushi. So that's like high on my list. Italian food would be like my other kind of like direction. So like pasta with like vodka sauce, chicken marsala, anything along those lines. That's kind of my wheelhouse.
I gotta say Boston's awesome just in general, but they have some of the best Italian food ever.
Yes.
I can't remember the place that I went. It was in the...
You got it. The North End.
North End. Yeah, I was like, which direction is it? I think it's North. Yeah, the North End. We were like, it was like we were down in some dungeon or something, but it was absolutely outstanding.
Totally how it is.
Yeah, it was like the guy that served us was like a mob boss, I think. But I mean, it was absolutely awesome. Sushi, do you like just rolls, right?
Yeah.
Raw, cooked, anything, doesn't matter?
I'm not like anything, but like within reason.
Within reason, you're good with it. Okay. All right. If you had a superpower, what would it be?
Like I could pick any superpower.
It's a superpower. You can make anything
probably
up.
To like be able to like teleport or like transport from one place to the other.
That's mine. That is... Like, some people are like, fly or whatever. No. I'm like,
why would you do that?
Teleport. Yeah. You're just instantly there.
Yeah, that would be it.
I'm totally with you on that. All right. Now, soccer-related question here for this next one, and we'll probably dive into this. You can't give away your secrets, but what is your PK strategy? What's the go-to?
Yeah. Well, I'm a huge believer in, like, you have to just, like, practice them. It's something that, like, you have to get down to be a science. So that's something, like, I've grown up going out to the field and taking, like, 100 of them. And if I miss one, like, you start over and you have to, like, hit. You, like, say what spot you're going to hit and you have to hit it type of thing. So it has to kind of be automatic. But I think more than anything, it's a mentality. You have to go up there and love that moment, love that pressure. And so for me, it's just been like training myself a little bit. And also it's kind of like an instinct of like, you know, some people can handle that moment and some can't. And so for me, it's like, I'm all about that. I want to be in there in that moment. And so that's kind of like always been how I am. And I feel like you have to just like own that. Even if like, maybe that's not you, you just have to kind of like tell yourself it is and be confident and go up there and just do whatever you decide to do with conviction.
Do y'all fight over who takes PKs in the game like you see players sometimes doing?
I wouldn't say we've ever like fought. There's been times where I think like the job's been up for grabs, but for the most part, like we have a plan before the game usually. Right. And like Shelly and Jamie have decided that even like last weekend we had like a scrimmage and they're like, all right, if we get a PK, this is who's taking it. And so we always kind of know.
Premier League or La Liga?
Premier League, not even close.
Golly, that was a quick answer. Why?
Well, my favorite team in like the entire world is Tottenham. So okay. They're in the Premier League. And I just grew up watching it. I think it's just like the best brand of soccer. It's so fun to watch. The fans are so into it. I think it's like a lifestyle. It is everywhere in Europe, I think. But probably spoiled. We have such access to the Premier League in the U.S. now. And kind of growing up, that's like what I always watched. But I just think it's fun to watch. Players are like so good. And it's like the kind of soccer that I like to watch and play.
So you like Harry Kane?
He is like my idol. Like,
really? Okay.
The, like, if I could model myself, like, and the way I played after one player, like, he is it.
Okay.
For, the last 10 years of my life.
When you hit a shot in practice, do you yell Harry Kane?
No. But it is, like, my whole team knows I'm, like, a crazy Tottenham fan, and, like, he does anything good or bad, and I'm, like, the first one to hear about it, of course, even though, like, I know, like, he misses a PK in the World Cup, and, like, I'm getting, like, 10 texts about it. And then, like, you know, he could score the best goal ever. And everyone's like, Man City's still better. And I'm like, all right, like, I got it. Our whole team is Man City fans, pretty much. So
yeah. So who's your least, like, most hated soccer team?
Arsenal.
Jay Phillips, who does the halftime show here, big Arsenal fan. I'll tell him of this.
You should. Please tell him I send all of my hate to Arsenal.
Ooh. Yeah. I feel it. It's pretty strong. Man, you know, I'm more of, so here was my strategy with the Premier League. I deliberately didn't pick a team so that I could like enjoy it more. You know, yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So,
I kind of just root for players more than like a team.
Yeah, it's strategy. I think that
like,
part
I'm
of the
really
fun is
it.
Like the pure hatred that like you just have for like the other teams and the rivalries that become. But there's something to that. My roommate didn't have a Premier League team, and like me, one of my other friends and like two of our friends, one was Man U, I'm Tottenham, and my other friend was Man City. And so she'd kind of like watch our games, sort of root for Man City. I'm like, you have to pick a different team. It can't be any of those three. Like we're not teaming up on anyone here. Like we can't have two Man City fans in the group. So I'm like, pick any other team. She's kind of like, I don't know. I'm like, you know what? I'll pick one for you. Like I'll find a team that you should root for and give you like a reason. Okay. I'm like, you should be a Leeds fan. I'm like, I'll die on this hill. I just think it's like a good pick. It's like, no one's really a Leeds fan, so it's kind of fun. They're like decent, play pretty fun soccer, and now they have like six Americans on the team. They just had an American coach. They fired him. But I'm like, you should be a Leeds fan. It'd be awesome. And she, like, kind of at first, like, it became a joke, and then, like, it became serious, and now she's, like, actually a Leeds fan, like, follows the games. I'll come home. Like, she used to, like, watch Premier League when we'd watch it, but, like, I'll come home, and she'll have, like, actually turned the TV on and be like, look, Leeds is on. And I'm like, this is, like, the best thing ever. And she's actually going over to London for spring break and is going to watch Leeds play. Like, she's that committed.
Wow.
So I think
really
it's pretty awesome.
In.
Yeah. So if you need to figure out who the right Premier League team is for you, contact me. I'm a matchmaker.
Yeah. Everybody get it, Kat.
Yeah.
Find out if you don't have
anyone but Arsenal I can work with. So
yeah, you can't convince anybody to like Arsenal.
No.
There's just no chance.
No. Well, there's just no reason to.
They have nothing. Unfortunately, aren't they doing, they're doing pretty well right now.
I don't want to talk about it.
Okay. Well, we'll get you a special segment with Jay Phillips at some point.
We'll do like a North London derby preview or something.
Go back and forth on that. All right. So you mentioned, since we're talking about Britain, so you've got some teammates and have had some teammates from over there.
Yeah.
Do y'all talk about food at all? Because I got to say, like, I may be like, it may be like a stereotype on my part, but like some of the stuff that I see that they serve over there at their soccer games, what is this? It's like the mashed up like peas and stuff.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't think I've heard of that. I played with Anna Pat in my freshman fall, and then we have Maddie Elston right now, who's from England. So we've definitely learned and seen some of their like new hobbies and like, you know, little mannerisms and things about it. That's just like, you're like, hold up, what did you just say? Or like, what are you talking about that you guys do? Which is funny. I can't think of like a really good example, but it's definitely different. And it's fun having someone in the locker room that's just like from a totally different world in some regards. So
yeah,
it brings a little something else.
I'm fascinated because I just feel like anything that somebody from anywhere in Great Britain, they say anything, it's just instantly more interesting to me just because I just love the accent.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
It's true.
It's fascinating to me. But no, people do have some different mannerisms, like even things that they say, like people from Canada, you know, and they were talking about going to look at a movie sometimes. Say, like, what, are you going to buy it? Like, are you looking, like, watch
like
the movie?
Like, look at the, like, cover of
no, it. No, they were, yeah, like, they were going to watch the movie in the theater, but it was a look at it. So, yeah. It is kind of fascinating. Here with Kat Berry on the Garnet Trust Hour, we are going to take a quick timeout, and when we come back on the other side, little word association with Kat, and then we're going to talk about some Gamecock women's soccer as well.
It's the Garnet Trust Hour on your home of the Gamecocks, 107.5 The Game.
All right, we're back. Garnet Trust Hour here on 107.5 The Game. I'm Chris Clark, joined here in studio by Kat Berry, who has now given us her favorite foods, her teleportation superpower, even a little bit of PK strategy. Hopefully nobody from the other SEC schools was listening yet. And so you didn't give away too much, though. You just gave us kind of your mindset as opposed to, you know, where you're going to put it. So no problems there. Going to do a little bit of word association here. Now, first of all, you gave me one that I did not have written down, but I just think it's funny, so I'm going to do it again. Arsenal.
The worst.
I won't limit you either. You can do a phrase, you can do one word, whatever you want to do. All right. Shelly Smith.
The GOAT.
I thought you might do the best. The GOAT. Okay.
Yeah.
Tom Brady.
Also would fit the GOAT. Shelly, Tom Brady, same thing.
Same level,
yeah.
Same wavelength.
I think Shelly would like that comparison.
Okay. New York style pizza.
It's good. It's not the north end of Boston.
Describe the, we'll get off the word association for a minute. Like what is the proper kind of pizza for you?
Well, I, honestly, like New York is good. And like deep dish is like a no, like that's just, it's a cold take. I don't know. Whoever thinks that's like the best kind of pizza. I think, I don't know if anyone listening's ever been to Regina's in the North End. Mike, Yuba, if you're out there, you'll know what I'm talking about. They have like the actual original location in the North End. That's like my favorite pizza ever. So it's just like classic Italian pizza. And I think you gotta stick to the basics.
Peanut butter on a burger.
Ew, no.
Okay. Yeah.
Have you tried that? Jack Brown's, have you ever been there in Five Points? They do that.
I've heard James Hicks told us about that from the baseball team.
Really good place, but yeah. I would not try that one.
Well, let me give you his preference then. And so I ran this by Adam Luckhurst too.
Okay.
So James is a proponent of the barbecue chips on a burger.
Yes, that is like,
all right.
That is, yes. A bunch of my friends, all that's the one they get at Jack Brown's, but I'm totally on board with that.
Okay, you're on board. Yeah, Adam Luckhurst was on board with that too. Philadelphia Eagles.
Like not good.
You have a lot of
disappointment.
Disappointment. So you don't like them, or you're just disappointed?
No, like
by
they just, I feel like they disappoint. They're like, I feel like every year the Eagles are like, we're the best, like we're gonna win everything, and then they just end up losing. Minus, I think they beat us once, but
Patrick Mahomes,
overrated.
Coming in hot.
I knew that reaction was gonna come. He's good. He's not Tom Brady.
Well, says somebody from Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm. I'm used to the I get the like the digs at this.
No, it's
time.
I enjoy it. I mean, you just have some strong reactions to some things. You got a little bit of, you know, oomph behind it. Pretty interesting. All right. So I told you after this, I'm going to coach my girls in soccer. So I need some tips.
Okay.
Soccer drills. What do you start with?
Well, it depends, you know, how old, what kind of formations, what you're trying to teach.
Well, you got, let's say you got kids who definitely have not come up and played academy since they were, you know, in kindergarten or whatever, and church league soccer.
So they're not looking for anything out of, like, Jamie Smith's book of, like...
I doubt they would understand, nor would the coach, which is me, understand Jamie's book. So we probably, we're probably going to be sticking with things like Sharks and Minnows.
I was going to say,
the coach.
Bread and butter, like, you can just throw them in, whoever scores stays on type thing.
That's
the one where you number everyone and you call it a number and you throw a ball out and they go and play 1v1 to goal.
That's
some classics.
That is what we generally try to
Star Wars. They have to like run through and you try to like kick each, like hit them with the ball as they run through the middle.
Yes, that those are all pretty fascinating. I've had some interesting moments on the soccer field. Mainly, you're just like a herder, not really even a coach.
Yeah,
at that point,
they don't really want to hear what you have to say. Usually, at that age.
Yeah, just try to keep them on the field, and you're doing pretty well. When did you start playing?
When I was like 3 or 4.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
When did you know that you were pretty, you know, had a chance to be pretty high level? Or did somebody tell you?
Yeah.
That you were going to be pretty high level?
Well, my, like, I think the terms of, like, knowing that, like, soccer was probably where I should put, like, my time and energy was probably, like, 5th, 6th grade. I think I played basketball, like, when I was really young, kind of through elementary school. And then I think, like, middle school, that kind of, like, 5th to 6th grade came around. And it was like, all right, you're probably going to have to like figure out where we're going to be putting our time and energy. Like you can't do everything anymore. I don't ever remember it being much of a debate. I think soccer was just like what I loved always from like when I was 4 and I started playing. And I also think like it was just like pretty obvious to me, to I think everyone at the time, although I don't really like remember having like ever having to have a conversation where it was like, what do you want to pick? Like, I think it was always soccer, and that's kind of how it's always been for me.
And then you picked up lacrosse, you said, in high school?
Yeah, freshman year of high school.
And then basketball?
So I came back to basketball. I played until, like, 5th grade, and then I stopped playing in middle school, and I came back to it in my sophomore year of high school.
When you jumped from to South Carolina, I would say, like, I said, jump up in competition level, but is it in soccer? I mean, it is, like, from high school.
Yeah.
But, you know, just with how soccer is and, like, club and everything like that, like, is it just, like, a huge...
I think it's a huge jump.
Yeah.
And I tell everyone this, like, I had no idea at the time, but, like, the college game is just so different. High school is high school. I don't think that you can compare that at all. I think for most people who are serious soccer players, high school is basically something you do for fun and to, like, represent your community and your school. It's kind of like for the love of the game type of thing. Like you go and you get to like kind of be big fish in a small pond and kind of have that experience of competing for like state titles and stuff like that. That is important to like you and your school and stuff like that. But in terms of like development, club is the biggest like stage, probably for lack of a better term, for like a youth soccer player other than like youth national team stuff for like the US. And even then the jump I think is massive. I say all the time, like club soccer, I didn't realize at the time, but it's so much of it is like, all right, you guys are really good. Like go out and just like win. And I got to college and I was like, there's just so much more to this. And luckily, like I had watched a lot of soccer and it's stuff that like I was interested in. So it wasn't like it came like impossibly hard. It's just like totally different. You have to learn to like watch film, be able to like critique yourself, understand like where you're supposed to be positioning, like how to run a press, how to like do different things. And I actually like, funny enough, I credit like my high school basketball coach in some ways because we ran a very systematic system in high school basketball, especially defensively. So I had to learn how to like kind of function in that. Like, okay, you have to be here. This is your slide. This is where you're supposed to be. This is the area you're responsible for. Kind of like that, whether it was like a full court press or we'd play like different zones. And so I actually think it's funny. Like when I came to South Carolina, I kind of like think about that sometimes still of like, all right, now we're pressing. So what does this look like and how do I slide and where, how do I read this pass? How do I see someone's eyes? So it's kind of funny. Like, you just learn to like work in that system. And for some people it works really well. Like you can take like these, the jobs you have to be responsible for and you better be responsible for them type of thing. And for some people, I think that's really hard just because you're so used to like so free and do whatever you want. And kind of like, it's an adjustment physically, speed of play, like all that stuff is totally true. But also I think it's just like a completely different game, set pieces like that just aren't that big of a thing. And like club soccer, it's like kick the ball in the box on a corner in club soccer. And here it's like, where are we aiming with the service? Where are runs going? Do we have like people running to shoot at the top of the box? Someone on the goalie, like just so many more things that go into it than just, and that's just for one set piece, let alone like pressing or playing out and actually in the run of play, like strategies and different things that like we're conditioned to do. So it's very different for sure. Definitely an adjustment.
Do you feel how much more comfortable? I know it's, the game's still hard. I know like at any level, but how much easier, how much more comfortable are you than you were as a freshman though?
Yeah. It's huge. Definitely. Yeah. I think even just like from a training standpoint, I don't think like anyone in our environment is ever like comfortable in the sense of like, you're like, well, I don't have to like worry about anything. Cause like our coaches will like, if you're a senior and you're not, you know, performing, like you'll sit the bench or you'll not start. Like even if you're a senior captain, it doesn't matter. And so like, you're never like totally comfortable, but I do feel like now, like I've learned like how to take like the criticism. I've learned like what my coaches are looking for and like what the standards are and different things like that. And also just like, I'm less scared of like making mistakes and some of that type of stuff. And so that just kind of like allows me to like take some of the pressure off, at least that like, okay, like it's practice or even in a game, like I'm more confident taking chances and doing some things. Probably like I scored some goals this year that like I wouldn't have even thought to, you know, take defenders on or make runs that like you can, if you watch back, you'll probably know what I'm talking about. But there are a couple of goals this year where like I went on some dribbles that I'm like, freshman year cat would never have done that. Or even just like turning in the center of the field and like driving up the, I would have been like, all right, turn and connect a pass. Like just don't mess up. And now I'm like, all right, how can I like be dangerous or how can I do something like creative or be me? It just adds like a level of like calmness and just creativity that you can't maybe have as much perspective on as a freshman.
When we come back on the other side, we'll talk more, wrap up here with Kat Berry, talk a little bit more about this season's Gamecock soccer team, exciting times in Columbia with what Kat and Coach Smith and her teammate, all of her teammates have done. Chris Clark here at the Garnet Trust Hour. We'll be back on the other side.
It's the Garnet Trust Hour on your home of the Gamecocks, 107.5 The Game.
All right, it's the Garnet Trust Hour. Chris Clark here with Gamecock Soccer's Kat Berry here in the studio with me, wrapping up our last segment. We've had some fun so far, and going to wrap up now talking a little bit about your typical day and also, you know, just an outlook for this season soccer team. Before we get into that, a couple other leftover, just like big picture soccer items. So the women's game, certainly when you look at like the U.S. national team, is well advanced.
Yeah.
Why do you think that is? And what do you think has to happen, if you have any thoughts on this, for the men's game to take more hold?
I think there's a couple of things to it. I think one element is just that like, in the U.S., I think for a long time, like soccer was one of the few sports that like was widely accessible for women. And so I think like men have just had more sports that they've had access to, which kind of like draws out the talent pool because you have talented athletes that maybe are going into other sports instead of soccer. I also think just like the focus on it overseas, because like it is one of their main sports, like they've put time, energy, money, resources and years into developing it. And I just don't think like we've caught up on that yet. I think it's definitely moving in the right direction. I think the women's game is so far ahead also here, just because like, even from like a human rights standpoint, like you, like women in the U.S. have been able to play sports for so much longer. So we've had kind of like the ability to advance and develop and have more resources for women, even in soccer, than other countries. And still we have work to be done in leveling the playing field just across the board in all professional women's sports. But compared to other countries, I think we had a head start. I do think other countries are catching up now and leaning on the infrastructure that they've developed for like men's soccer teams, which is going to help them and make us have to raise our level as well.
So one of the things, I mean, I picked up soccer as a fan, not a player. I do goof off and play sometimes, but I picked it up as a fan like much later in life.
Yeah.
Kind of, you know, just never really watched it. And part of that was the accessibility. Mm-hmm. Like I was watching the World Cup one year and I was like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
And so that's where I kind of fell in love with it. But a lot of people are still haters on soccer. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
So, all right, last game that we're going to play today before we get into some things. Give us like a 1 minute, make your case. Somebody who doesn't watch soccer or like actively is like a hater of soccer, why they should love soccer?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of reasons that you should love soccer. Starting off, you can watch it. It's a 90-minute game. We only take a halftime break, so there's no commercials. You don't have to sit there and watch a million commercials and watch us stop and drink water for like 10 minutes every 5 seconds. Additionally, it's super physical. It's exciting. It's constantly moving. The game is never the same twice. Two plays will never play out the same, even if you completely intend them to. Also, I just think it is one of the most widely played sports in the world. So in terms of just like variety, creativity, and connection, it's a sport that can take you across the globe, connect you with people from all over the world, and just it's fun to watch. People love it. People are super passionate about it, and it brings a sense of community. So I think in a way that maybe no other sport internationally can do, soccer draws people together, and I think that that's one of the most special things about it, even in rivalries, Tottenham and Arsenal, whatever it is, South Carolina, Clemson, like it, people get brought together over the sport, which is really special.
So I mentioned we were going to kind of go over, kind of preview your team for this year, but also go over your typical day. So I think something that we always try to shine some light on from a media perspective is just how hard y'all work as student athletes and how much you have going on. Walk us through a typical day. It could be in season, out of season, but just how packed the calendar is.
Yeah. For example, today, so in the spring, we train every morning. So we are out on the field at like 7 something. We'll train for like an hour and a half, depending on the day. Come in, we'll lift. Today, we had a meeting after lift. I had class at 10:05. So I went to physical chemistry 2. I don't know if anyone is familiar with that. Sounds really fun, I bet. And then from there, I went to work. I work in a research lab on campus. So I headed over there to get some hours in for the week. And then I had an exam at 2:50 for biochemistry. So I went there and then I came right here to get on the radio. So, you know, it's kind of a busy day. It just depends. In season, we travel a lot more. So we miss school sometimes. We train in the afternoon sometimes. But typically our days involve, you know, a long practice block, 2 to 3 hours. We're there an hour ahead of practice time. So if practice starts at 7, we're there at 6. Rolling out, fueling up, getting ready to go, getting taped up, whatever it is. And just like being, we have film. So if we had a game, we'll watch film before we go out to train, stuff like that. So we stay busy for sure. Our team is also doing a bunch of like community service initiatives this spring. So we've been doing elementary school visits and some other things like that. So that's been a weekly thing that every single person on our team has been committing at least an hour or two weekly as well. So we stay pretty busy, especially in season, but also definitely out of season as well.
Well, y'all, I've noticed your team does a lot of outreach, like community service, like you said, but also do a really good job with the fans.
Yeah.
So Darby, back at Stone Stadium, like what have you thought of the fan support from the Gamecocks since you've been playing?
Yeah, like when I mentioned earlier about just how amazing like the culture is down here, our fans, soccer specifically as well, is like unmatched. They've been top 2-3 nationally attendance in the country every year, both men's and women's soccer, which is just unbelievable. We get thousands of fans and packed houses for college games, which is just like something I'd never seen before. And so I think our fans are just the best. They cheer for us through ups and downs. They're there in August and they're there in the cold in November. They travel with us around the country. We have the graveyard shift, which will drive like all the way down to the SEC tournament to be there for us. So it's just unbelievable. And it's, we're so grateful for everything they do. So all of our efforts are basically as a way to say thank you. And that's what we try to do with our like fan appreciation clinics and with like Familia FC and just getting ways for people to be connected, going back out into the community to see like the kids that do come to our games and, kind of give back to them. And that's something that like we've always wanted to do and we've been committed to, and we'll continue to do so.
So I know, maybe a little bit of a sore subject, but you know, kind of is what it is. I know you don't mind talking about it. Last season, y'all had a good run, but I know you well enough to know that you're not satisfied with that. So tell us about, seriously though, what you accomplished last season as a team. Kind of when you look back on it, what are your thoughts on the season and how can you bring that forward? Like, what's the outlook for this year?
Yeah, I think a couple of big takeaways I had from last year. Starters, we had an undefeated non-conference for the first time while I've been here, so that was huge.
Yep.
We played some really tough opponents, and so I think that experience was something that definitely I'll lean on, and like kind of having that. I actually, my freshman year was COVID, and then my sophomore year, I got hurt during non-conference, so I missed almost all of our non-conference portion. So it's the first year I had kind of like that full experience. So that's definitely something that I learned a lot from. And then Our SEC season, regular season, was kind of tough, up and down. We just, not as bad as I think like my sophomore year, but a little bit just like we started off losing our first game, which was just kind of a bummer. But I think my biggest takeaway about our team from this year is like the grit we had to bounce back. And we got knocked down a couple of times, but we never quit and we never stopped believing like in our team. And I think in other years, not that we've ever been a team that has given up or like, you know, hung our heads, but I think this year's team especially kind of refused to be denied. Like, we knew we wanted a trophy, and if one opportunity passed us, like, we were going to make sure we were ready for the next. And so I think like we lost, you know, to Vanderbilt, and we thought we might have been out of the East, and then we went to Tennessee and hammered them 6-1. And so it was kind of like a way of making our statement of like, we're not going down without a fight, one, and two, like, we're not scared of anyone, and like, we're ready to go when we're going to get our next opportunity. And so I think like it's a long season, so you're never going to win every game. And in the SEC, like, you might have to win every game to win the conference, which is tough. But we knew like we'd get a clean slate at the tournament. And so I think we approached that with kind of like a fresh outlook and went in and did exactly what we set out to do. And so I think that for me is like a week that I will never forget, the experience mm-hmm. from it, just of like how committed we all were. I think everyone was like just so focused on what the end goal was. And I think that was pretty evident. And I also think it was awesome because everybody thought Alabama was going to win.
Yep.
They literally did a TV special where they like literally only they only covered Alabama. And then at the end, they're like, but then South Carolina won on this day. And, you know, sometimes that happens. And thank you for coming. And we kind of watched that and we're like, wasn't an accident. Like, we won that game fair and square. And so I think that's something that like we've always known. We can compete with anyone. It's just continuing to find ways to do it consistently over and over again. I think we were much more consistent this year than we were last year. And even heading into the NCAA tournament, like, we put up some good performances against like a Wake Forest team that competed with some of the ACC teams this year, like win 2-0. We compete against Harvard, who people had as like a College Cup outlier, and like basically put them away in the first half. So I think that like those types of performances that have become standard for us or like become an expectation are something that we'll continue to build off of. And then it's finding ways to like, yes, that Alabama game, like, we are capable of that, but how can we do that, you know, every single time we play a team of that caliber over and over again? Because we know that's like, we have the talent to do so. We just got to keep finding out like ways to do that. And I think we know we could have gotten more out of that last game in the NCAA tournament. And I think that, at least personally, that will sit with me for a while. I know like my sophomore year when we lost in the Elite Eight, that game, like, still I think about all the time. And I think that was something like I carried with me into this year, that kind of chip on my shoulder. And I think that's exactly how my team's going to take that Duke loss this year. And I think we'll be ready, you know, going into this next year to continue to want to push forward. And I think we're already doing things that like we've never done in springs or off seasons before, whether it's like mental performance, strength stuff, you know, just like conditioning, soccer wise, like, we're ready. So I think that's like an exciting thing. And you can see that there's a purpose right now to everything that we're doing, and people like want to keep pushing, which is exciting.
Good stuff. All right, Kat. Hey, I've had fun. Hope you have too. Good stuff from you as always. It's the Garnet Trust Hour. I've been joined by Kat Berry. Thanks everybody for listening. And the Gamecock Central Takeover Hour is next.